Okay, we are back for the second hour of the Investigative Journal, and I'm going to take one last call, this last four-minute segment, and then go to my second-hour guest. You're going to want to listen to this story. It's a teacher from Kentucky who was talking about the truth about 9/11, was arrested, and put into psychiatric care. He got out, and now they're putting him back. He's going to go. Actually, he has to report right after his interview with me. You can't even talk about the truth about 9/11 in a school in Covington, Kentucky. An unbelievable story. We'll get to him after this. I want to go to Roger, though, in Pennsylvania. Roger, you're on the Investigative Journal.
Yeah, thanks, gents. Tuned a bit late, so hopefully not redundant. That would be on the matter of Dixon Cannon, if you would be aware, and not necessarily more than surface detail or so of any defects, since he went the independent contractor route.
He didn't get in trouble for that. What he did for years is withhold on the employees and send it in. Then he found the truth about the income tax. She filed some forms with the IRS and got back the other people's money. He got back withholding money, OPM. So he took it out of their paycheck, sent it to the IRS, and got it back. But a lot of these people had moved. He didn't have their addresses. They'd quit. And to deliver to OPM, other people, their OPM, other people's money.
Yeah, but
so
I thought
money
he also
that he had taken out, he inadvertently, and I'm quite sure he didn't intend to, he kept other people's money, and I'm unfortunately taking other people's money as a crime, even though he had good intentions.
So you would suggest that the OPM is the only thing he got actually stuck for?
Yeah, that was the crux of the case. That was the main thing, and everything else was window dressing.
Thank you.
He was a great man and a great patriot, but a lot of these checks were very small amounts for temporary workers, and it cost money to hire a bookkeeper to figure this up and send it back to the people, so it was small amounts. He kept it. But I don't know in the law where it says if you steal a penny, it's not theft. I think the law says stealing anything is theft, even if it's small amounts.
Right. Are you still there, Roger?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Dick's a great man and a great patriot, but I'm afraid he took some shortcuts and came into the realm of a law that's just really rotten from top to bottom.
Okay, thanks a lot, Roger. Call back anytime. We only have a couple minutes left, Robert. You've dealt with these people, thousands of people you've helped over the years, trying to just enlighten people. How did they bother you at all?
They harassed me a little bit. There's a lot of stuff on the website where they harassed me. I was picketed in the IRS office one time, and they had me arrested, so I sued them and made them pay me $5,400 for violating my rights. And there's a picture of the check on the website. You just have to learn to stand up to these people. You got to learn what your rights are and stand up. And after a while, they find out your person is not going to be put. Your person know what your rights are. They just leave you alone and go after the sheeple, the people that don't know what the rights are. There's thousands of people around here not going to fight back. Why fight with me? I'm going to give them trouble. These other people just lay down and let them be stomped on, so they go after the weak. The IRS is a bully agency as well as a rogue agency.
Yeah, good point. And any recent cases? We had about a minute, about 30 seconds here. Any recent cases you want to talk about quickly?
Yes, we've got a bunch of cases we won on the CDPH. Congress passed a law saying that before the IRS can harass you or steal from you, they have to give you a hearing. This is your due process hearing, part of the due process guarantee of the Constitution. But the IRS has been lying and cheating and trying to scare people from exercising their rights. So we've been suing them on that. So far, we've won every case.
Well, listen, Robert, we're all out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show. And I'll give out your website and contact number after this break. So thanks a lot, Robert.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache, and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We're back on the Investigative Journal, and I wanted to give out Robert Clarkson's phone number and his contacts again. We just had Robert on setting you all straight about how the income tax is voluntary. So please quit filing. If you want to, give the money to the New World Order. If you want to give the money to these criminals, go right ahead. But if you want to put money in your pocket, put money in your children's welfare, you want to put money into your family, you can, because the income tax is voluntary, folks. You do not have to file. And Robert Clarkson's been doing this for over 30 years, and he's a former attorney. He was also a veteran in the Vietnam War and a patriot. And he'll help you, set you straight. 864-225-3061. That's Robert Clarkson. And you can get a hold of him also through www.patriotnetwork.info. So there's how you get a hold of him. And that's going to lead us into my second guest. And this story to me is amazing. It also shows you how we've really become a fascist country, a country where you cannot speak your piece or even carry a concealed weapon, even carry a weapon that you have a permit for. My guest is Michael Cook, and he is he was working as a special educator for the Covington, Kentucky Independent School District at a state-funded residential treatment center for abused and neglected boys. He was also studying at to get his master's degree in special education at Northern Kentucky University. But that's been suspended because of what's happened. And just after the really interesting, right after this show, he is due to report at 2 o'clock Eastern time to the authorities again, the fascist authorities, and they're putting him back into a psychiatric ward. Now, you tell me if you think Rob Michael needs to go into a psychiatric ward, and he's going to share with you now how this whole story evolved. Michael, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. You know, I've been better, but thanks for having me on.
Well, listen, I gave a little intro of where you, who you are, what you were doing at Kentucky at the Independent School District. Tell us how this happened, because it started out with you trying to tell a teacher's aide about the truth of some facts about 9/11, and then it escalated from there, and then the police entered this whole story, and it just became a mess for you. So tell us your story.
Okay, a little background information. I was born and raised in northern Kentucky and left home after high school in 1980 and lived out west for about 22 years. I worked a lot of construction. I'm now a journeyman in the union. And I also took up, like, whitewater guiding whitewater rivers. And that led me to work for Outward Bound and the National Outdoor Leadership School. And I worked for both those schools for a long time and racked up a lot of field experience. And then I did some adjudicated youth wilderness courses, what they call hoods in the woods. And I came back to my native northern Kentucky in early in 03, and I was working on the master's at Northern. I got the undergrad from the University of Arizona in Tucson. And then I was working on the graduate at NKU. And, yeah, I shared the 9/11 evidence with my aide, and he took it to my boss, and he took it to the police. And the police took me out of the classroom and took me to the psych ward.
What kind of information were you telling the aide? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I think what did it was the gun. People are just really nervous about guns around school. I was concerned.
And when you were talking before we get to that point, what were you telling the aide about 9/11? Just that you thought it was an inside job?
Yeah, that there was an inside job, and that I was carrying this gun to protect myself for my activities and my past, things that had happened to me. And
you have a permit for the gun, correct?
Yes, yeah, I had a concealed carry permit. And
you kept it in your car?
What's that?
You kept the gun in your car, right?
Yeah. I was very careful. You know, I mean, guns around school these days is a very, very serious thing. So when I took the class, I made sure to read the law and get from the instructor the proper procedure. I was within the law. The police didn't arrest me. I wasn't charged with anything. I wasn't read the Miranda or cuffed. I went with them willingly. I kept the 45 caliber semi-automatic Kimber with a cable lock on it, locked in the trunk, and I kept the ammunition locked in the office of the school as an officially recommended safe procedure and within the law.
Okay, so you were talking to the aide, telling her about what you thought about 9/11.
Yeah.
The idea of let's get this straight to the American people. We talk about the Second Amendment erosion of our rights, but we do have a right to have weapons. And weapons in the hands of the right people are protection for your family, protection for yourself. And in this state of our country, they're trying to take away all our weapons, and the weapons stay in the hands of the criminals, the weapons stay in the hands of the government. So let's get that straight for one. We've been so brainwashed. There's nothing wrong. I'd even advocate, going back to putting a holster on and carrying one. I mean, what if you got a license for it? You know, you need protection nowadays, and there's nothing wrong with having weapons. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you do. You do. And Kentucky is actually one of the better states for the law. I don't think the law has changed. I think it's still on the books. You don't even need a permit to carry in your glove box or your car. You know, everybody that's considered your property, and everybody can pack that way. The only way you need the concealed carry is to walk around with it.
And I'll be honest with people. People wonder about me and what I think about the Second Amendment. And I'll tell you right now, in the kind of business I'm in, the truth, and I live on an acre out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't want too many people coming on my property. And there's two most important things I carry here. And one is a shotgun and one's a shovel. I tell the authorities. And, unless you've got a warrant, keep out of my space.
I think a shotgun is an excellent choice in self-protection. The a bullet can travel a long distance and go through walls and all kinds of things, kill people very much removed from the incident. And a shotgun just won't travel that far, and you're not very likely to miss, and all those kinds of things. I really appreciate you having me on. I got to go, though. I got to walk into this place and get this going. So I can try to call you or write to you. Actually, I don't have...
I'm here for a little while, and I just want you to talk about your story real quickly. I know you have to we're going to tell the people real quickly where you have to be now. For here's what you did. You basically talked about 9/11. You carried a weapon, and then somebody ran on you. And tell them what happened then.
Yeah, okay. I do have to get in there. I don't want to be late because it'll earn me more time in the hole. But it's a convoluted story. I wrote it up, and I sent it to you, but I can go over it quickly for the audience.
Okay.
After I was put into... the psych ward. People walk around. Psych ward. I had to have my teaching certificate suspended. I've been fighting to keep that. And the hospital came after me for money for for services I didn't request or require. And then I got into trouble with the Secret Service. George Bush was coming to town, and he was going to speak at the school I used to go to. And so I was pressuring the president of the university to show 9/11 Truth movie before he showed up, so we'd have something to talk about when he got there. And I figured he'd need a little encouragement, so I was calling and writing, and I sent an email, where I used poor wording. I said, eventually he'll be shot for treason. What I should have said, what I meant to say, what I intended was, eventually he'll face a jury of his peers, be found guilty, and, be shot by a firing squad for treason. And,
A lot of people that say that. I mean, I've had people say that on my show.
I was writing quickly in an email. So the Secret Service came to see me, and they were actually very polite and respectful, and I was the same. And, just to be on the safe side, I tried to give them 9/11 Truth movies. They wouldn't take them, but one of the agents did write down the titles to David Ray Griffin's books.
Okay.
I thought that was cool. So they took my firearms. It was just I didn't have the .45 anymore. I had a 9mm pistol, 122.
You never had any intentions of hurting anybody, correct?
No, not at all. I don't even hunt. I don't even kill animals. I just target shoot. I like to shoot the clay pigeons with a shotgun,
okay.
But I also plink with the .22. And they gave the firearms to my local police. After Bush was gone, I waited about a week. I didn't want to seem too eager, but I went up to the police, and they gave me the guns back. And all I had to do was sign release forms.
Okay.
And I got home, and right away the Secret Service calls again and says, I want to help you get your guns back. And I say, well, I've already got them back. And he says, well, I don't think you're supposed to have them back. I didn't want to play games. I want to ask him, why are you trying to help me if I'm not supposed to have them? And your Secret Service, how do you know this how do you not know this if you don't want to?
Ask you, I want to ask you to do this. We're going to take a short break.
Okay.
Wait for 3 minutes, come back. Finish your story for a few minutes, and then in the second half hour, I'm going to read the statement that you sent to me, and that'll give you time to submit again to the authorities and go into the psychiatric ward, which you shouldn't be doing. Well, just hold on. We'll be back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Okay, we're going to get right back to my guest, Michael Cook. Because I found out about this story on Friday. Then I found out after I talked to him that they're putting him back in a psychiatric ward at 2 p.m. Eastern time. And so I tell you, I just wanted him to – he has to leave after this short segment so he can get there. And if I would have known about it earlier, I would have had him on Friday so he could talk more. But he has sent me a long, lengthy statement that I will address in the second half hour, and I can take some calls, too, about his story. But go ahead. Is this the first time, or have you been in the psychiatric ward before because of this? Are you there? Okay, we lost him, and I think he's on his way to the psych. If he comes back, Chris, put him on, but I think he mentioned he had to get to the had to submit again to the psychiatric ward over this story. And let me tell you what the story really is. Like he said, he was a special educator for the Covington Independent School District at a state-funded residential treatment. And he told an aide that was working there. In fact, he was studying to get his master's degree at Northern Kentucky University. Okay, we found out that he is on his way. He couldn't wait 5 minutes because he has to drive, submit himself to the authorities for the second time. But for that first half hour, I think you heard his story quite well. And he sent me a long statement in lieu of him having to leave because I found out about this, like I said, Friday. And then I found out that he was going to be put in the psychiatric ward at 2 p.m. Eastern. So that means I had to get him on in that second hour. Real quickly, so that he the hour before he was going in, so that he could make it to the psych ward. Boy, what a story. And here's basically, let me just go over it again for you, and then I'm going to read his statement in the second half hour. Take some calls. Give me your opinions on the Second Amendment. Give me your opinions on the government's illegal taking of weapons from the American people. Give me your ideas just about anything about his story about 9/11, because this story encompasses both issues. And I'm going to follow the story after Mike. Hopefully he won't spend a long time. I'm trying to try to track down where he's at, see if I could keep in touch with him. And anyway, let me do that. And let me take a call, though. Rita in Texas has been holding. Rita, how are you?
Okay, hold on. Mike, I'm on another line. Could you hold just a moment? Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I got called on another line.
No problem.
I wanted to share that this is a very serious thing about Mr. Cook being compelled to go into a mental institute. No, I'm serious.
It's the first time, and it's unbelievable the facts here. I mean,
no,
there are lawyers out there. I mean, this is a breach of his rights. Go ahead.
No, what it helps me do, sir, is it helps me to understand the control that the Jews have right here on our government. Psychiatry is actually a religion. It is a religion that is based on Jewish Talmudic preachings, of which Sigmund Freud was the founder. Mm-hmm. My concern about him being thrown in this is this to me is really Jewish communist action going on here in our country. This is the same technique that has been used to silence dissidents that were communist countries.
Yeah.
And he's in a great deal of danger because he has absolutely no rights whatsoever in that place. They could actually destroy his thinking processes by compelling him to take psychiatric medication that basically some of them can be tantamount to chemical lobotomies. And danger about this is that, see, I'm one of those that I don't believe, I have a particular religious persuasion that the religious in my particular religious persuasion have been talking about the Jewish lie of the 6 million dead that were allegedly of the Jews being murdered by Hitler. But,
right.
but you see, by the same token, you know, the expose about how the Jews, when they took over Russia, they murdered over 80 million Christians from the time that Lenin took power up until about the 1970s. This country is not safe. What is happening in this publication is going to have to silence people who want to stay out of those mental asylums. There is no recourse. The only recourse that is available, sir, and let me say this, the ones that are doing the most mouthing and the talking, they are not the ones that are really supposed to be dangerous to the government. It is those who are silent that are looking and watching, you know, because eventually what's going to happen is justice will come about, and it won't come about peaceably because the government is force, and the only way that you're going to protect yourself from this kind of unlawful, ungodly force is by another force, and that's called the Second Amendment, and that's why it's in there.
Yeah,
I'm horrified.
You know, I like your enthusiasm, and I like you sound as if, you know, you understand really what's happening here as far as taking the weapons away from people to protect themselves, and also now circumventing the legal system and using psychiatric facilities to house people. I've had people on my show that have been in there for a year or more, just because they talked against the administration and didn't say the right words or whatever.
Those are torture chambers, sir. That's what is going on. And we are in a great deal of danger. I'm going to let you know, even myself, I'm very selective as to who I'm going to talk to one-on-one in the public. You know.
Okay, listen, I got to take a break, but why don't you come back and finish up your thoughts, and then I'll get into his statement, which is very enlightening, that I know you're going to want to listen to. We'll be back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal, and my guest, Mike Cook, had to leave early. I found out about the story late, and the powers that be are putting him in a mental institution again at 2 p.m. In about a half hour, he has to report, and he will surrender himself to the U.S. Marshals for transportation to the Federal Medical Center. Free Mike Cook. I'm glad you called, Rita. That's what I say, free this man. He sent me a lengthy statement that I'm going to read after you finish your statements, but I appreciate you coming to his rescue. Any last thoughts, Rita?
Well, sir, I can't come to his rescue. The only thing I can do really is pray. I feel very, very, very sorry for him. You see, the one thing that RBN Live and these programs have taught me is to go and study the Jews. And if people would get on the internet and read the speech of Benjamin Friedman and also Myron Sagan, he also gave another expose how these Jews repudiate their oaths, their promises, their vows at their it's called the Kol Nidreir prayer on the Day of Atonement in their synagogues. These Jews are not to be trusted. And let me share with you why I'm very passionate about this, sir. I follow this message that I keep hearing, oh, well, go talk to your officials, go fight in court. You're talking to someone, sir, who spent time in a jail system asking for a trial by jury, and I didn't even get a trial by jury. I was just summarily thrown in the daggone hoosegow. These people will do whatever they want, and I'm a firm believer. I just sit back and try and inform people, but if the suffering is going to have to get to the point that it did back in 1776, and Katie, by the door, every one of these people that are doing this, they're going to get their comeuppance. There's a guy that they're trying to throw 5 years in prison. You might remember his name is he's denying the six million man Holocaust. He was kidnapped.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I can't think of his name right now. But
yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a Mr. Aaron, you know, Irwin over there in Europe. Well, that horror is right now in the United States of America. And that's spelled with a K for kosher instead of C for Christian, sir. That's how I'm pronouncing it. You know, so we're all in deep water. I for religious reasons, I, in fact, I deal with Christians. I just let them know, listen, you know, psychiatry is a religion. It is not a science. It is a religion, and it is a Jewish religion. And what they're, and I'm going to conclude with this. When the Supreme Court wasn't messed up, it said the greatest tyranny that a government can commit against its citizenry is to compel a man to act contrary to his conscience. And that's what is in this country. Tyranny, pure and simple.
Well, Rita, thanks, and you call back anytime. Thanks for your comments. Okay, that was Rita in Texas, very passionate and telling you, listen, you got to get up and do something against the evil in this country. And she responded to Mike Cook's, my guest, who had to leave early, and let me explain this. But luckily, he's given me a lengthy statement to read in this half hour that he prepared because he knew he had to leave early. And I found out about Mike Cook's story on Friday, and so I couldn't have him on because he had to report to the federal authorities just in about 20 minutes. So I got him on for as long as I could, and that was about a half hour. And let me explain who he is. Mike Cook, again, was a special educator for the Covington Independent School District at a state-funded institution. He told an aide, he was studying for his master's degree also at Northern Kentucky University, he told an aide working at that facility that he felt 9/11 was an inside job. He started explaining it to her and also said that he, because of his past, because of his feelings, he felt in danger. And he he carried a weapon in his car, I think it was a .45 caliber, and he had a permit for it. And he kept it in a safe place, locked up, but he felt the necessity to do that. Now, that's within his rights, and apparently the aide snitched on him, told her boss, the next thing you know, the Covington police came, and the next thing you know, there's a whole series of things that happened. Mike is an activist. And Bush was coming to a nearby university to speak, and so at that point he contacted the university and said that he felt that a 9/11 truth movie should be shown before Bush appeared so that the questions could be asked about to President Bush that are vital. Well, he then sent an email to the White House or somewhere stating that Bush should be shot for treason. And this got into the hands of the Secret Service. Now, listen, listen, here's what I would do. Just say he should be hung for treason and make sure you don't have any rope in your house and you won't get a visit from the Secret Service. But anyway, what happened, Mike then got a visit from the Secret Service and a whole bunch of things happened after that. And you're going to want to listen to his statement. And I'm going to start now and hopefully get it done before this hour. Well, he's now on his way to a psychiatric ward. They're trying to bypass his rights in the courts, what they do many times. This is not his first visit to the psych ward for basically expressing his rights and carrying a legal weapon. So let's talk about it here. Here's Mike Smith's statement, and I know you're going to want to listen. I want to get this on the record, too. This is a brief history of my legal problems, says Mike. There are potentially lucrative lawsuits in the information prevented here. and much more information not presented here for attorneys, any of you attorneys that are not spineless out there, willing to take them on, especially in Kentucky. I think he's got a federal case going now, so you, if anybody's out there wants to help him, you can contact him, and I'll give out his contact number later. I have no criminal record, he says, and a very respectable background, and he explained that last half hour, so go back to my archives and get that. In April of 2005, I shared information on the attacks of 9/11 with my teaching assistant. I was working as a special educator for the Covington, Kentucky School District at a state-funded residential treatment center for abused and neglected boys. I had previous experience with that center for abused and neglected boys, and I had previous experience with the population in wilderness therapy programs or hoods in the woods, and I was working on a master's degree in a special education program at Northern Kentucky University. I had a Kentucky permit to carry a concealed, weapon and was doing so. The reasons for this precaution were very valid and extend beyond my involvement in the 9/11 truth movement. I had been giving my aide and sometimes her daughter a ride home after school, and I knew that to continue this would be a considerable inconvenience for her. I was very willing to continue giving her a ride, but I felt apprehensive that she was not aware of the circumstances she was in while riding with me, so I tried to inform her somewhat and showed her my pistol to emphasize that I was serious about this, that this was reality. She freaked out and took this information to my boss, who took it to the police. The Covington police came to the classroom the next day before the students arrived and took me to the psychiatric ward at St. Elizabeth Hospital. I was compliant and was not arrested or read any Miranda rights and was not charged with any crime. Now, we're going over Mike Cook's statement here. A Kimber pistol that was locked in my car with a cable lock on it was confiscated and never returned. I had the ammunition locked in my office. This is a standard officially recommended and safe procedure to keep the firearm and the ammunition separate and locked. At the hospital, Dr. Pettit, now, Mike's on his way to the hospital now for somebody ratted him out. Dr. Pettit saw me for 30 seconds or less and diagnosed me in 30 seconds as a paranoid schizophrenic. Now, you listen to Mike for that half hour. He didn't sound like that to me. About all I got to say was 9/11 was an inside job. This is a true statement. And I encourage you to examine the work of Dr. Stephen Jones of BYU and Dr. David Ray Griffin for the confirmation of that fact. Now, apparently the doctor saw him for 30 seconds, Dr. Pettit. He said it was an inside job, 9/11, and Dr. Pettit then, like a good old boy, clears him a paranoid schizophrenic. So all of you out there who think 9/11 is an inside job, according to Dr. Pettit, you're all paranoid schizophrenic, including myself. The petition that went to Campbell County District Court, now this is Mike talking again, to have me involuntarily committed was filed by Miss Linda Lambers. She was a mental retardation professional and was qualified to assert that I was mentally retarded, not mentally ill. But that is what she asserted in the legal document. The petition went through the office of Judge Gregory Popovich. I think that it is telling that Dr. Pettit was not willing to put his name on the petition, which is how it should have been done. All right, so now through all this legal mumbo-jumbo through the doctors, declaring him a paranoid schizophrenic because he thinks 9/11 is an inside job, here's what happens. I spent, he says, this is Mr. Cook talking, I spent about 3 weeks in the psych ward. I did whatever was asked of me, including taking medication, because I figured that it would help me be released sooner. I spoke freely with mental health professionals whenever I was asked to. I was released on the grounds that I was not a danger to myself or others. Then, he says, I was fired from my teaching job. Now he's fired. Okay. And spent the summer working as a carpenter. I am a journeyman in the union. I applied for other teaching positions and was accepted at the day treatment program for the Campbell County, Kentucky School District. Such programs are for youth that have been in trouble with the law. During the first day of employment in August 2005, the agency responsible for the certification of teachers, the Kentucky Educational Professional Standards Board, suspended my teaching certificate due to the hospitalization, and the Campbell County School District could no longer employ me, so he returns to carpentry. Now, let's just paraphrase this, and I'll get back to his statement. All right, so we have him now spending 3 weeks in jail. He's in a mental ward. He's been declared a paranoid schizophrenic. They got rid of his teaching certificate, so he can't work as a teacher, and now he's a carpenter. So the Kentucky Educational Professional Board began the legal proceeding to revoke my teaching certificate early in 2006. This is an administration hearing conducted by the Kentucky Attorney General's Office. During a telephone conference with the hearing officer, Mr. Thomas Hellman, and the attorney for the EBSB, Mr. Cynthia Grohman, I was given verbal permission to present my evidence and call witnesses to substantiate my claim that the attacks of 9/11 were an inside job. All right, so now he's going to bring witnesses. Okay, it seemed logical to me that if I could substantiate my claim, prove that my assertion was valid, then that would argue against my having a mental disability, and this met no resistance. I contacted Dr. Jim Fetzer, one of the founders of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, and he contacted other professionals in the 9/11 Truth movement. In short order, I had Dr. Fetzer, BYU physicist Dr. Stephen Jones, commercial pilot and aeronautical engineer Neela Sagadevan, and I might add all of these people have been on our show, a former Deputy Attorney General of Pennsylvania, Philip Berg, he's been on my show, Colonel George Nelson, he's been on my show, and chemist Kevin Ryan, ready to testify. So they're all going to testify now that he shouldn't be a paranoid schizophrenic because he said 9/11 was an inside job. All right. So he submitted the witness list, and another pre-hearing telephone conference was quickly scheduled by Ms. Grohman. I was then told that the evidence pertaining to 9/11 was not relevant to my case. According to Mr. Hellman, Cook misconstrues the allegations against him and nature of proof that will establish that the charges have no merit. So now they're saying, well, he's schizophrenic for another reason. This has no bearing on it. Cook seems to assume that if the hearing officer finds that there was a government conspiracy regarding 9/11, he could not find that Cook has a mental incapacity. One finding has no relationship to the other, however, since one could believe there was no government involvement in 9/11 and still have a mental incapacity, just as a person could believe that there was government involvement and have no mental capacity. Thus, proof of the government's involvement in or conspiracy regarding 9/11 has no direct relationship to the charges against Mr. Cook. That's what they said. Now, in other words, the validity of what you are saying has no bearing on your rationality. So, you know what? It sounds like to me a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, and they're trying to say that, you know, that's the reason they originally declared him incompetent, and now they're saying, well, there's other reasons. Well, you know, this has no bearing and is really stupid. So let's just end that there. This is a long statement. I got about 3 minutes here and 7 minutes on the other side, so I'm going to try to get to all of it. There's been so much going on here. So now we got him spending 3 or 4 weeks in a mental institution, and he gets all this evidence to show that 9/11 might be an inside job, and nobody wants to talk about it. Okay. So another case, he says, was begun when St. Elizabeth Hospital began a civil suit in an effort to get me to pay for my involuntary hospitalization. All right, so now he's involved in a suit to pay back his involuntary hospitalization, which means he has to pay $8,500 now. So he's in a civil suit because they put him in a mental ward. So now they're charging him $8,500. And the case, again, came before Judge Popovich in April 2 at 6, and no surprise, and that case is still going on. No, there was a summary. They entered a summary judgment, and he's still on the hook for $8,500. Now, there's a current federal case against me and he's saying this, on 5-18-06, President George Bush, now this is how this case happened, was coming to town to raise funds and speak at Northern Kentucky University. I hand-delivered a package of 9/11 truth materials to the president of NKU a week before. I was in favor of showing a 9/11 truth movie to the audience before President Bush arrived. Unbelievable. And I was calling and emailing the NKU president office steadily in the days leading up to the President Bush's visit, thinking that he might require a little encouragement. I made a mistake, a poor choice of words. In an email to the president of Northern Kentucky University on 5-18-06, he said that what I should have said was something like, eventually, President Bush will be charged with treason, be found guilty by a jury of his peers, and be shot by a firing squad. What I did say was eventually he will be shot for treason. So the Secret Service then, now. So now we got another case going here. The Secret Service now is coming to see him because he's sent this email to the Northern Kentucky University president saying that Bush ought to be shot for treason. He explained that on the show. So here's what happens. I'm going to get back to the final statements. But anyway, they come to his house, confiscate some weapons, and we'll continue with his final words. And if I don't finish, I may even talk about this tomorrow again. We'll be back on the Investigative Journal.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
The words that I remember from my
Okay, we're going to get right back to this statement by Mike Cook because we're running short on time and I wanted to get in as much as I can. So here we got the Bush killing millions of innocent people all over the world with his weapons. Mike sends an email when Bush is going to speak at Northern Kentucky University that he wants to talk about the truth about 9/11. And in that email, he has no intent to hurt Bush, but just says what might happen to him if he's found guilty of treason. Okay. So anyway, the Secret Service come, they confiscate all his weapons. This is on top of his, all of his other problems that he had, talking about 9/11 in the school he was working at. And they let him go, and so he's waiting. And then guess what happens? On 8-16-06, the U.S. Marshals served him and arraigned him on a charge, a federal case. And the case, it's the United States of America versus Michael Cook. In the district court, Eastern District of Kentucky, criminal case. Now listen to this, number 666-WOB. Boy, they always do that, don't they? When they want to make their point about their Satanist agenda. Anyway, so Mike ends up now he's charged with he's got a federal charge at a pretrial hearing on 10-6-06. His lawyer files a motion to be evaluated for mental competency to stand trial. Mike's saying, listen, I need a trial. And basically what happened, that's never happened. So he then, the case is lingering in the federal court. And then just recently, he goes into a long scenario here of what happened. He then now has been declared incompetent, unable to stand trial, and needs to be evaluated. For not only this incompetency to stand trial, but he's put in a mental ward now. Now, the last person I had on my show that went through this spent 1 year in this mental ward before she ever got out, before she could be declared competent to stand trial. So you can see what they're doing, circumventing the law and putting away people. He says this, third scenario, I need to be rescued. What did Alanis Morissette say? The fire trucks are coming up and around the bend. good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I won't get that. I'll be able to get out of jail, get out of this mental institution. But anyway, I wanted to say that Mike Cook, my guest, is now 4 minutes away from surrendering to the U.S. Marshals and being put in a mental ward for the above. Boy, what a situation. All he did was talk about 9/11, has legal weapons that he can carry, that he has licensed. Then he wanted to boycott and picket and talk to Bush about the war, 9/11 at Northern Kentucky University, sends an email saying that Bush could be tried for treason. And the next thing you know, he's got Secret Service agents at his door. The next thing you know, he's got a civil case for paying back the money for the first time they put him in a mental ward for 45 days of $8,500. He's now got a federal case against him, and they're sticking him in a psych ward for evaluation. And like I said, how long is this evaluation going to take? We're going to keep track with Mike Cook. And you know what? I'm going to follow this up. You can go to my website at www.arcticbeacon.com. That's ArcticBeacon. I'll put up his statement, write a little story about him, and we will keep in touch with 9/11 truth activist Mike Cook. That's what really happens to the truth activists. What a world. We'll be back tomorrow. We're all out of time on the Investigative Journal. Thanks for being with me, and until then, good afternoon.